in the scriptures concerning your health. David thanked God for his song and the strength of his right arm so that he could pull the brass bow. And he manifested that strength in his military might. And Moses testified of the strength that God had given him. He never selected to use him until he was older than I am. And today, we don't look upon it the same way. Moses, being that 120 years of age and his natural forces, wasn't abated. Our economy today requires they build obsolescence into their equipment. I wanted a drill fixed, so I took it to be fixed. Little hand drill didn't cost very much in the beginning. And the sign that confronted me when I looked in the door, to look at the drill and to tell you what was wrong with it, would cost you $15. So I took the drill home. It wasn't worth $15. Isn't that a strange thing? So the economy builds in obsolescence. You pay a tremendous amount of money for a car, and you watch it deteriorate while you ride in it. And that's the way of our thinking. So the mastermind of the labor force takes the young man and puts him into occupation, and oftentimes before he's even skilled for the job. So we have depleted our resources of the cunning craft of the hand, so that you rarely see anything that's sculpted by a Canadian. You rarely see the magnificence that you can see in the European countries. And most of it, well, that we have today is a carryover from that. But the church is speaking of something different. If God has promised you long life, with long life, the psalmist said, I will satisfy thee. If he's promised you long life, he must promise you long health. Long life without long health would be an endurance race. So if you are going to live to be an old man and an old lady, you should anticipate maintaining and keeping your strength and not look at a wheelchair or some other implement to indicate that you are finished. So with long life will I satisfy him. Now, you're not going to satisfy me if I'm sitting in a chair looking at some knot hole in the ceiling. No way. I desire to be active. Very seldom do I start anything but what I don't ask God to give me skill in my hands to do it. And I believe these things are for us. And that's what Brother Berg was emphasizing in the very outset of this these meetings. And then the open door. What is the open door? I believe it's more than opening into India, which I was so thrilled to hear. I believe there's an open door that will show us something into how to live properly. I don't think that you're going to get long life, you girls that are on those strange diets where you want to be as thin as a fence post. Lord knows why you want to be as thin as a fence post. There's nothing more monotonous than a straight line. That is right. No artist in the past ever picked up one of those fence posts. I am sure if you'd have stood by Michelangelo, he'd have blinked his eyes and say, how can a woman just develop that way? That's right. Brother Doug and I were in a hotel in London this time, and a young girl walked through, and this, I think it's the right side of her head, was a CN paint job, you know, the boxcar paint. That was the color of the hair on that side. This side was green. and her hair in the center between that part of her cranium went straight up on edge, as though she was carrying some magnetic force above her head. Her hair stood straight up, and that was jet black. And she had clothed herself in a tight skin pant. I don't know how she would ever get them on. You wouldn't dare to bend with them on. And the same on the back, all speckled with jewels, and her fingernails were long and of a very bright color. And she had a bow-legged sway. I don't know how you get that, but she must have cultivated. She had a bow-legged sway that I'd have to be bow-legged to do it. Yeah, maybe. But she had that down to perfection, and it was only for one purpose. Now, I am sure that you girls don't have to follow that class. I am sure. That's not where beauty is. That's not where the grandeur of development is. And so God wants to give us life. And I anticipated that. I anticipated that He would open something that my heart can embrace. The Word of God is bread. If the Word of God to you is bread, it's food for you. If it's only the analysis of a creed or some moral structure, it'll be as dead as an empty cornflakes box. It'll not do you any good. But it is bread. It can bring us life. And hidden in those volumes are the things that God wants the church to have. And so I believe that that these things that we're close to, I don't know how close we are. I had hoped that somehow it would just break open. But I appreciate what has come. But you dear people that are getting up in years, I believe that life should follow you in the years. I do believe that. I do believe that the life that God is speaking about is far beyond the reach of a pill box. Now, I am not against pills. I am not against them. But they will not bring us to where we want to go. We have somehow to believe that He is infinite, that God is well capable to do far and above all that you can ask or think. It is not enough to say, I know the Lord can heal me, and then put a big but in there. You have to know that He will heal you now. He will touch you now. You may take a little while to recover, but He will give you that healing life. And He will give it to you in the measure that your heart longs for it. There's a strange thing about God. There are many, He has strange characteristics and things that you will find that He doesn't stand too much with an arrogant person. And He's given you many secrets in His scriptures to show you how to enter into it. Men have always had trouble with faith. But you know, I have found something embodied in your ability to love is a measure of faith. Somehow it's woven into the fabric of it. And God has given us the church, which is the agent in the reconciliation of all of men. And if you are not sure, and you have an idea, well, everything that goes on in the earth is, people get saved through this and people get saved through that. That's not the criteria at all. Not at all. If you'd have been in the time of Israel's Passover and the blood was on the lentils and on the doorpost, you could have taken anybody in there. It was so general, but you had to be in the house. That was the secret then. But now the secret of the church is to get people that are born again, and that born again is a drastic change in the spirit of the individual. The Spirit of God touches your spirit to try to separate you from your natural life. And then he comes in and he has another experience where he will fill you with his spirit and becomes resident in the anatomy. Now don't ask me to explain that thing because I can't. But I know he abides, and from you should naturally emanate the power of that life. And so that this morning we have a large body of people here, and the grouping of all these people, you can see how the Holy Spirit will use that dynamic gift of prophecy. Prophecy is one of the great gifts of the Spirit. It has such, it seems, unlimited power. And he has given that to the church. Not that you just might know some little thing, but that has tremendous overtones. And the church should come together and understand something of that union of the body, the capabilities of the body. Now, I don't know, some man gave me some time ago the capabilities of the brain, and it's astronomical, the operation that goes on in the human brain every minute. You could run the telephone system of Canada with the operation, if you could produce as many operations per second that the brain could produce. It's astronomical. It's out of all ability of the natural mind. The way it can retain, the way you can see a thing, and though you haven't put it down on paper, you can carry it away with you, and you can take, and maybe days later, while you're laying in your bed, you can see the whole thing again. Tremendous what can be retained. But the body of Christ is going to be far in excess of that. It is meant for more. It wants to bring us into the realm of the absolute, where we have problems here that have to do with the moral life of our nation. But you can't. It's so complex that reason can't put it together. We need a revelation. If we could have in one moment the revelation that covers all the ramifications of divorce and remarriage, if we could have that by revelation, there'd be the end of discussion on the end of all the loopholes that we have. Our government will solve it by giving you instant divorce. That's how they're going to solve it. You know, nobody contends for anything. We're going to appease everybody. Doesn't matter how it is. So one of these days you'll be able to go up to one of those machines and put your name on there and your serial number, and that you're fed up to the eyeballs with your husband, because he snores at night, he won't clean his teeth, and his stomach gurgles like a churn. So you can't stand him. And so you put those there, and you punch the button, and the machine says it's okay. And down below comes your divorce. Isn't that something? I made up most of that. I'm sure that wouldn't please the legal minds, because they wouldn't get any salary from a stupid thing like that. But the church is made to live in the realm of the absolute. I don't know whether you quite understand what I am talking about. Maybe you do. But when God speaks, and we hear it every once in a while, "Thus saith the Lord," and the anointing is so intense on the "Thus saith the Lord" that you know he is speaking from that intuitive power of the Spirit of God. And if there's one thing that is very noticeable about the move of the Spirit, is the way that the Holy Spirit can use that segment of the Spirit that's in you. I marvel at it. I absolutely marvel at it. And so there'll become that time when somebody will say, "Thus saith the Lord," and it's right out of a natural channel. And they may say all manner of things. But the power is that when the prophet was speaking to Isaiah, and he said, "When you go up into this conflict, you'll go up there, like the rest of the prophets were prophesying, you'll go up there, but you won't come back." Well, he gave him a different, he didn't just say it that way, but who is that wicked king? Ahaz. Ahaz turned to him and said, "You never prophesy any good to me. I told Jeroboam, you never say anything good to me. That's why I have these other 400 fellows around here. They're always prophesying good things to me. They'll tell me I'll live a long time. I'll be prosperous. I'll clean up all the Assyrians and the Lebanese. I'll get rid of them. And it's good. But when you come, you always say the wrong thing." And the prophet said, "I always say, thus saith the Lord, what the Lord told me to say." You see? And he said, "I told you, Jehoshaphat, this guy never said anything good. We should lock him up." And he said, "When I come back, I'm going to treat you to a real long time in the cooler." And he said, "If you come back, you will know that the Lord hasn't spoken by me." And when that king went out there, and he said to Jehoshaphat, "Just to fool God, we'll change our gowns. You wear mine, I'll wear yours." And Jehoshaphat should have known better. But he was walking right with God, but he got affected by, he wanted to kind of get together on any grounds. "I'll get together with Ahaz, where he has the 10 tribes, I've got the 2. We should be compatible. I will soft pedal here and soft pedal there just so we can make a union." There's no soft pedaling with God. You're either right or you're wrong. And so they switched clothes. You know, there's King Ahaz riding the chariot with Jehoshaphat's clothes, and Jehoshaphat was riding with Ahaz. And they had a sense of grandeur because they were having these different robes. And so they went into battle, and Jehoshaphat was in real trouble because the Syrians spotted him, and they worked his chariot out where they were going to kill him, and he started to bawl like a baby, "I'm not Ahaz, I'm not Ahaz." So they pulled away. And there was a strange thing. Here is one of those little words we use, serendipity. That would be a nice name for a baby. A short name. And there was a fella had gone into the battle. He was an archer. And he didn't know anything about anything, really. There's no record of his name, no record of his exploits at all. But he had this extra arrow, and he puts it in his bow, and he pulled it back and lets it go, and it zoomed right over, and it landed right into the area where Ahaz was going, and it found an opening in his armor, and it struck him in a vital part. And the man stood up holding to the chariot walls all day long, but in the evening time he'd spilt so much blood upon the chariot floor, they had to take him back. And when they took him back, he was dead. You see, that prophet was right. Oh, I would to God that that prophecy could have that level. You see it every once in a while in an unusual level, like that call to India. Strange. I believe India will open. I believe it'll be a door opening for us. But we are at that place where we should look for not to depend on the medical skills, as great as they are, it's astounding what they've learned. But somehow there is a flow of life that can come from God. A youth will run and he'll get weary. But old age can share in a divine energy and a divine strength of unlimited proportion. A sister, man though she may be in her 80s, somehow or other we are where I think we are in history. We are close to the opening of an entire new dispensational door where life will abound and strength will abound and old age will diminish. A young man can run and get weary and can do all kinds of things. He can jump and frolic and carry all kinds of weights. But as people grow older, you find many changes happen in the anatomy. I would like to see what it would be like for a man to maintain all of his faculties like Moses, the brilliance of his mind, the mind that God flooded into his mind. And that is right. That's the way it should be. You may know a lot of information about the scriptures, but I'm telling you, once the mind of God starts to work within you, it's just fragmentary. But he has the capabilities, being God, at this time in history to bring to pass something that will be a hiding place, a refuge, a place where people can come and find that every shackle can be broken, that there'll be no limitations to his power manifested in his church, no limitations to the struggle against the anatomy when you find the machinery breaking down. But the church should be that hiding place, that refuge, a place that will naturally spew out people that want to live in this aborted system of the day. The church should be a place where men can find that solitude of rest, where the canopy of God rests over it, and it just transfuses us with that energy. Not that we'll last a long time. I don't want to last beyond what God wants, but I desire of God, and he knows this, I'm only repeating what I have told him. I desire to have the faculties that he wants me to have in the full vigor, regardless of age. Make age relative, like it was to Moses. I feel that it's possible because we're coming someplace in the church where we are fitting into an end time system. There are so many things that deal with the end time, and may some are holding on for dear life that they will, looking for a translation. And I don't belittle that thing at all. The translation, whatever will happen in that particular time, I do not know. But while I am on terra firma, I don't want my mind to go into some kind of a recline. I don't want my thinking to be impaired. I think with the living in the autumnal day, I want the warmth and the understanding in its full capacities. So as Brother Berg spoke to you at the beginning, I say to you nearing the end of the meeting, with long life will I satisfy him. I am 75. They've gone by like an overnight shadow. And if that is long life, I am not understanding it. If allows me to live to 90 years, when I arrive at 90, it will but just seem as another day. With long life, I don't want to be going around with thinking of old long life and on crutches like this. I'm not speaking against cripples. I want to see my limbs functioning the way they should. I don't want a transplant of the cornea. I don't want a bypass in my system. I don't want any of those things. I want the surgeon of all surgeons, the one that died to implement healing, to implement the change in the anatomy to such an extent that my heart, my spirit can be in full accord with God Himself. And better than that, because of the fragility of the human race, He's allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and embody you. Oh, what more can the church ask? The unifying factors are not in human agreement, are not in human solutions. The unifying factors are the same as the anatomy, coming through the divine agency of life that my body has. And the same in the church, that divine life, that super life of God coming into the church should pervade the whole atmosphere. And that you should be able to reach up into the atmosphere and allow it to transfuse you. I said I wasn't going to speak, Brother Irwin. Maybe you better come because I feel long-winded today. Come on up. It's wonderful working with these men. I've often been jealous for this man's ministry. He has developed a cunning ability to switch over onto God's channel. When he runs out of words, he'll start to prophesy. Isn't that right? he shakes his head at me. But you watch. You will watch and you will see that sometimes when he hesitates, he will branch off into those eternal realms of prophecy. And I marvel at the flow of wisdom and understanding. It thrills my heart that we have that gift in the church. We would be poor, we would be in the realms of such poverty. It would make Skid Row look like Buckingham Palace. But God has given us the more sure word of prophecy. God bless you.